Give you praise and glory and thank you again, Father, for your son, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for the gift of eternal life that we have through his sacrifice at the cross. And I thank you, Lord, that he is raised from the dead, that he is seated at your right hand today. Lord, just to watch over this service today, we thank you that your angels are encamped around us, protecting us. Just bless this time together, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, fear seems to be running rampant, not just here in the U.S., but all over the world. If you read some of the headlines that's taking place, it blows my mind. And as I was thinking about that, you know, I was looking at the different types of fear, and I come across three. And there's primal, rational, and irrational fear. Joshua 1, verse 9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." When I look at this and I think of primal fear, which means getting harmed or harming others. And the best example I could come up with in my own personal life on this was, I've told this story many times, but back when Mark took his sabbatical and he called me up and he wanted me to leave the church for the 3 months while he was gone. And anyway, so we were doing that, and I can't remember exactly. We were either 3 or 4 weeks into this ordeal. And showed up to church that morning, me and Betty. And there was one other person at the service that morning. And as I thought about that, I'm thinking, you know, Lord, why did you pick me to be the one to kill Harvest Fellowship Church? Amen. But he didn't. We got a healthy, thriving pastor now, amen, who's on his way home from Kentucky. So be praying for their safe passage. You know, they're having some, he told me this morning they had some rain and sleet going on. And the church is strong and thriving, amen, amen. The next one, rational, which is a real threat. Psalm 34:4 says, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears." As I was thinking of this rational threat, this real threat, I was reminded of a time I went hunting at my Uncle Lee's down on the river. And he had a place down there where you come off down into the river bottom. There was this big tree, and I can't remember what kind it was. I want to say it was oak, but I'm not sure. But it had a branch that come out about 15 foot off the ground, and it was just perfect. You could get back and lean against the trunk and sit on this branch and get real comfortable. And I took many a little naps there over the years when I was hunting. It was just a great little spot, and you could just see out over through the river. And I was sitting there one night, and it was snowing. And it was just so peaceful and calming. And as I was sitting there, there's this bobcat that come across out in front of me, probably 30 or 40 yards. And with it snowing and the wind was blowing into my face, so he couldn't smell me. But he just meandered out there for a good 15 or 20 minutes. And he finally went off to the west. And I thought, well, maybe now we'll see some deer or something come in. But anyway, probably another 30 minutes passed, and I'm sitting there, and it's snowing, and I'm just kind of enjoying it, and all of a sudden, I hear this thing screaming right behind me. It was so loud, I about fell out of the tree. I mean, I thought he was coming after me, going fixing to jump on me right there and there. But thankfully, he didn't, because I'd have won. Amen. Amen. And the next one is irrational. Isaiah 41:10 tells us to fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God will uphold us. Irrational, it's a persistent fear of a specific activity that leads to a compelling desire to avoid it at all cost. And might I just say right here, mine is public speaking. I don't know. When Mark hit me up, it was back in December, wasn't it? 1st of December or something. He told us he was going to be gone, so I had plenty of time to get ready, and it really didn't. But the week leading up to it is always kind of nerve-wracking. And I get to thinking, what in the world? Why did you say you would do this? Let Mark Ward do it. He's better. And I even had a thought during the week that I was going to send him a message and tell him to get ready. I may need a designated hitter this Sunday. But God said no. You said yes, so you're going to do it. Amen. So in the fear that I'm seeing going throughout the world, I really couldn't find a really good definition of it. So I come up with my own, and hopefully maybe whoever's in charge of giving credit for coming up with a term, well, I'll get credit for this one, but it's just simply this: crazy fear. And I don't know if you all, surely you saw the headline of the mother in down in Houston, Texas. Here, it's been a week or 2 weeks ago. She thought, I can't remember if she thought her son had COVID or if he did have COVID, but she was taking him to get it to a testing site to get him tested. And the fear of her maybe catching it was so overwhelming, she stuck him in the trunk of her car and drove him to this testing facility. Now, that's crazy fear. I don't want you to think I'm making light of this whole COVID deal. I'm not. But when the fear like that overcomes you, it takes out rational thinking. Amen. There was another, and this was kind of funny. It was going around. I seen it on Twitter. But a guy supposedly got an email from his boss about an upcoming Zoom meeting. And in this email, he told all the employees even though we were having a Zoom meeting, everybody was required to wear a mask because one of your fellow employees has a fear of seeing unmasked people. And it's funny as this, because one of the major news organizations took it upon themselves to see if it was actually true. And what they found out was that particular instance going around was a hoax. And it really didn't happen. But in doing that, a bunch of people got to digging and found that although that instance wasn't true, there was many, many instances where that actually happened, where people are so fearful that even during the Zoom meeting, they wanted everybody to wear a mask. That's crazy fear. One of my favorite books in the Bible is the book of Joshua. You know, it tells the journey of God's chosen people as they entered the promised land, conquered the promised land, and finally divided the promised land. And Joshua was one of only two people, Caleb being the other, that were able to leave Egypt and enter the promised land. Joshua was a brilliant military leader and a strong spiritual influence. But his greatest attribute and the key to his success and the success of Israel was his submission to God. God had a place for Joshua, and Joshua knew it. Where it's what we're going to talk about today is God has a place for you too. He has, I'm going to reference as a seat today. He has a seat for you. He has a place for you. It's not filled with fear, but it's a place for you to be strong and courageous. Amen. Numbers 11:28 tells us that Joshua, the son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, oh yeah, I cut it off there. I thought that don't make sense. But he had just been with, he had served Moses since his youth. Amen. So he was being trained up for this. Joshua had a servant's heart. He served Moses for approximately 50 years. God was raising Joshua up so he could sit in the chair God had prepared for him. Amen. I want to look at three things today from Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. It's God's call, God's encouragement, and God's equipment. In God's call, we can look at verses Joshua 1, verses 1 and 2. And after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. God had prepared Joshua for this very moment. And the reason that Joshua was prepared was he was in a seat. Numbers 27, 15 through 18, it says, Then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd. If you have no leader, you're in trouble. And I look at this right now, and I look at America, and it seems like that we're a country without a leader right now. Amen. You know, politicians, it seems like they get elected anymore to serve themselves and their best interest. They just want to serve a party. They don't want to serve the country. And I think that's why we're in the shape that we're in right now. But we know God can overcome it, especially if we're in our seat. Verse 18 says, And the Lord said to Moses, Take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is a spirit, and lay your hands on him. Deuteronomy 34:9 says, Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. We can be led by the Spirit or by fear. We need to choose wisely. Amen. And Joshua was a man of the Spirit. Now verses 3 and 4, Miss Carrie, of Joshua 1. From this seat I will send you out. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. God will send you out with a word. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. When God sends you out by a spoken word, and when he sends you out from your rightful place, he has prepared for you. His word will not return void, but will accomplish what it was he desired. Amen. As I was going over this, and I was reminded of a time when Pastor Mark hosted a TFAC meeting here at the church. And he invited me and Mark to come and sit in on it. And after it was over, the other pastors from area churches who are members wanted to pray for us. So they set us down there in three chairs and was praying. And one of them, Pastor Cody Anderson, he spoke a word to me. And he said, I just feel like God wants you to know that I'm going to protect you down to your last penny. And I remember thinking, oh, great, a penny. Why couldn't it be $1 million, Lord? You can afford it. But it was to the last penny. Anyway, I don't know, we were here probably another 15 or 20 minutes, and after that, I was going back home, and I stopped by the mailbox to get the mail. And in there, I had a letter. We had moved here. We had been living here probably about 3 years. We had been at Weatherford and moved back over here. And I closed my business down there. And one of the places, the utility companies over there, the gas company, when I closed my account with it, well, I had a letter from them. And in this letter, it said, we're sending this to you. We found an accounting error, and we're sending this back to you. And it was a check for $3.56. After 3 years, I mean, that has to be a God thing. It has to be a God thing that he spoke that just 20 minutes before that, amen, to prepare me. That his word will not return void, amen. Amen. God's encouragement, verses 5 and 6, Miss Carrie, Joshua 1 and chapter 1. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. In your seat, no one will be able to stand before you. Amen. Matthew 16:18. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against you. Jesus was encouraging Peter here, amen, that he was a rock, that no matter what, even in your times of denial, you were going to be a rock. He was an encourager. You're a rock. You are a rock. From this seat, you will help people to possess what God has promised them. Deuteronomy 1:38. Joshua, the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall go in there. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. And Deuteronomy 3:28. But command Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you will see. You too are an encourager. You have the ability to strengthen people that you come across and meet who may be fearful in a situation. You can then help them to inherit something that God has for them. Amen. Be an encourager. And God's equipment, verses 7 through 9. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. From this seat, let go and let Jesus take the wheel. Psalm 25:9 says, the humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. And Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Let go and let God. Amen. And from this seat, you will eat well, be prosperous, and have good success. 1 Kings 2, verses 2 and 3. Here King David is talking to his son Solomon, and he says, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. I went on a quest with Fellowship of the Sword years ago, and this is one of the scriptures that they have you to memorize and learn while you're on this quest. And there was a young man from, I think he was from North Carolina there, and he was going to school to be a doctor, but he was also fixing to go into the army. And I think as soon as he got back from this quest, he was leaving out. But anyway, had learned this verse one morning, and it was supposed to be the verse you meditated on all that day and everything. And, well, the next morning, I don't know what time it was, probably around 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, he's up and running around in this huge house that we were staying in, and this is what he was screaming. He was screaming that, to show yourself a man. He said, I need to show myself a man. And I bet that went on for 20 minutes. That he was strong. And keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimony, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. So keep the charge. Show yourself a man. Show yourself a woman. Joshua 23:14. This is Joshua speaking to the people of Israel. Behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. And you know in your hearts and in your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. Again, we see his word does not return void. Amen. And here we are to the meat of this whole message. From this seat, you will be strong and have good courage. God told Joshua 3 times to be strong and courageous. He was encouraging him and strengthening him. Why? Because that is who God is. God is strong and courageous. And when he calls you, the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Amen. When God calls you, he will give you everything you need to succeed. God spoke that 3 times to Joshua. Moses spoke it 3 times to him. And the people of Israel even spoke those words to him, to be strong and of good courage. And in 1 Chronicles 22:13, we see King David to his son Solomon, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Joshua knew he had a call in his life to serve God. And I think everybody in here feels the same way, that you have a call. And the first thing he did in his youth was to serve Moses. Joshua was Moses' constant shadow. God used Moses to help raise up Joshua into the leader God desired. Joshua was called, encouraged, and equipped to fill the calling God had placed on his life. And so are you. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. It's a command. Have I not commanded you to be strong and of good courage? God has called you, encouraged you, and equipped you with everything you shall need. Joshua knew where his seat was. Do you? The journey won't be easy. Good things in life never are. It wasn't for Jesus, and it wasn't for Joshua either. He faced trials. He was leading millions of people into the promised land. He was charged with conquering it and then dividing it up amongst the people. Can you imagine that task? You know that somebody wasn't happy with the quarter section they got that wasn't down by the creek or something. Joshua knew where his seat was. It was trusting in God. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind are either primal or rational fear. There's nothing irrational about them. And you can look at the first responders are a great example of this. They do it out of love. They don't like to see people hurting. They train, so when that situation arises, they are prepared. We too are a great example of this when we are seated in the place God has for us. 1 John 4:18, perfect love casts out fear. So get in your seat. You're strong and courageous. No fear. Amen. Do not let fear keep you from the seat God has prepared for you. Do not let the fear of others keep you from the peace God has given you. Get in your seat. It's a cozy seat. It's made from the finest leathers. It's like laying among the clouds. It's so comfortable. It's made for resting and napping and gathering strength. Because God knows you're going to need it. Amen. To accomplish all the things that He has planned for you. So if you got, I guess this is my message in a nutshell. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a command to be strong and of good courage. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this day and for this opportunity to stand before you and your people. And I pray, Lord, that this day has honored you and blessed you and glorified you, that it has blessed your people. And I just speak this word over them, Lord, today, that they are strong and courageous, that there's no fear. We see the things that are happening in this world. We know we can overcome it because you are with us. That your word that you speak to us, Lord, does not come back void. You will not leave us nor forsake us. And we give you praise and glory and thank you for that today, Lord. And the last thing I'll say here is that if anyone is with us today who hasn't made Jesus the Lord and Savior of their life, it's very simple. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's all you have to do is confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you shall be saved. And when you've done that, share it. Matthew 10:32 says that whoever therefore shall confess me before men, him I will confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Father, we love you and we praise you and thank you. I pray, Lord, that you would bless your people this week, that you would encamp your angels around them, watch over them. Keep evil from us, Father, that we would cause no harm. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you would stand with me, I want to just read a blessing and we'll be dismissed. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Have a very blessed week. Thank you.